Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1085. Our topic is Q&A, and the title is probably going to sound a little weird, but thank you for tuning in anyhow. So the title is Birthday Squat Challenge. What I wanted to do today was a fellow trainer. He does personal training, nutrition, and helps other people do that. Yeah, so I enjoy, I love getting to work with other trainers. So they reached out and asked me to help them with a special project. Now, actually, half of my clients at this moment are personal trainers, which is super awesome and super fun. And I thoroughly enjoy helping each of them because any help I can give them, of course, would then help everybody that they're helping. So it makes me feel more important. And who doesn't like feeling that way? So I wanted to throw out today a fun little program. The trainer has a goal of squatting a certain number of reps based on his birthday. So he's turning 47, and he asked if I would help him with just kind of concept of how he could get his squat endurance up to squat. His goal is going to probably be end up being 225 pounds. He wants to squat for 47 reps to kind of celebrate his birthday. Now, he asked like what my idea was towards how to get prep for that. Now, I've helped this person prepare for the Arnold Classic in an amateur Arnold Classic, just to be clear. Amateur Arnold Classic bodybuilding show. And we've worked together for a bunch of other reasons, even like a neurological damage that he had. It was kind of like connected to his neck, which influenced growth in his right side chest and his right side lat. And we had to kind of work through that and figure out how to do that while I was prepping for that show. And everything worked out great. It was super awesome, very fun. We enjoyed doing that. So he reached out whenever he had this new goal, this new challenge, asked my ideas. We exchanged some ideas. He thought it sounded great. So he asked if I would actually write like a program for him. And it was a program specifically for like the lower body workouts leading up to his birthday. He was going to still do his own upper body workouts and all of his other stuff. He just wanted some guidance on how to prepare himself but not overexert himself. And he's same as we all would be, as if I want to have a hardcore challenge, I'm going to beat the crap out of myself to try to meet that challenge, when in reality I need optimal training, intensity and volume, not maximal training, intensity and volume. So he wanted to have somebody help kind of hold back a little bit, meaning that this person absolutely does not have any work effort issues. They'll beat the crap out of themselves. They'll put in anything they have to put in, but to the point where they'll actually overdo it. They might overexert themselves getting ready for the goal and actually end up making it harder on themselves because they end up doing too much. That's one of the main reasons. Well, there's a couple reasons. One of the main reasons why trainers will get me to work with them is because it helps to have some kind of another set of eyes looking at their programming, especially their nutrition as well, to make sure that they don't undereat and overexercise as a way to try to make themselves look the best, because the way they look, the way they feel, the way they perform in their workouts all relates to business. So it's helpful to have somebody have them in check. Make sure they're eating at least this much. Make sure they're training not that much. So it helps with all those things. And then also for a couple of the trainers, we do rotating programming styles. So about every 8 weeks, and there's some give or take here and there, but about every 8 weeks, we might switch to completely training different training style if they're a relatively newer trainer. So I might train them for 8 weeks like a powerlifter, train them 8 weeks like a bodybuilder, train them 8 weeks like an athlete. And then we cycle through, do special scenarios. So one client I have, they're doing a 4-week program that involves no barbells, and they're excited to see like what that feels like. Another client, they had a client of their own come in and had lower body injury. So they were asking how to train legs if they can't put any weight on their feet. So for the next 4 weeks, I took over their lower body training and wrote them workouts that they can do without having to put their foot on the ground. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoy all that. And maybe I'll make a podcast someday about all the different modifications I've made for people. But it's super exciting, super fun. I'm rambling a lot because I'm just kind of excited today. Hopefully you are as well. So let's go through what this program was that I wrote for the trainer to do his birthday squat challenge, and just what are the things we can learn from it. What's the concepts that were implied or included? Okay, so what it ended up being was, by the time their birthday rolls around, their birthday challenge, the 47 squats, will be the 8th lower body workout. So they have 7 lower body workouts to get ready for the challenge. what we wanted to work on in general was increasing their tolerance for the endurance of the squats, like aerobic tolerance, like spinal erector, kind of posterior chain endurance tolerance, and then also tolerance in their quads, because they're the way this person squats, they're going to need their quads for sure, but they're also going to need their posterior chain, especially their kind of spinal erector area, nice and fresh and strong to hold the weight for the entire time that they want to squat the 47 reps. So there are some specific improvements we want to make, which inherently kind of includes specific limitations to the programming, meaning we want to ensure that we build up the endurance of their lower back, but not to the point where they go into the event with their lower back fatigued. In general, it's generally understood that if like I max out on like a deadlift, which is going to be one of the most taxing things you can do to your lower back, that it would take me 2 weeks or so, roughly, let's just go plus or minus some, about 2 weeks till I feel like my lower back is 100% totally fresh again to go. Now, there's variations. If somebody deadlifts 700 pounds or 800 pounds, they might need more than that. They might only deadlift heavy once a month. If somebody deadlifts, you know, 300 pounds, but they only weigh 150, they still might need less time. They might only need a week or two, week and a half. So it's in relation to body weight, but it's also in relation to overall absolute weight. There are variances there, but the general concept is if I max out my lower back capacity, it tends to recover slower than other musculature. And there's various reasons. One of the reasons is we use our lower back throughout the day, all of the day. So if I were to max out my lower back and then lay in bed, I would recover faster if I laid in bed for 3 or 4 days. But that's not going to be feasible, and it's not even optimal. Whereas for other muscles, like if I train my bench press muscles to maximum capacity, that's my chest, my shoulders, maybe like my triceps. Well, if I just don't max out, if I don't use those in my next workouts to their maximum capacity, I don't walk around in a handstand all day. I don't use my shoulder joints under weight load as a normal part of my day. So it makes sense that if I'm going to max out my lower back, which is kind of like our core and our stability and our bracing, that it's going to take longer to recover because I can't completely avoid using it in like the recovery period. So what we looked at doing was we created an alternating sequence. He's going to train legs twice a week. One of the workouts is going to be practicing the squat and increasing his volume capacity. The other workout is going to be more so kind of recovery based and active recovery pinpointed to the specific areas we want to improve. Now, before we get into the lower body workouts, what I wrote for him was notes for the other workouts, his upper body ones, whether he does any kind of extra conditioning work or anything like that. So I wrote, in your other workouts, be very aware of not fatiguing or stressing the low back, specifically the spinal erectors, because that's what holds us upright, helps hold our upper body upright during squats. So this will likely happen in any kind of unsupported bent over exercise. So for example, if they're doing barbell bent over rows, that's going to fatigue their lower back, and it'll negatively impact their lower back performance on a max capacity event. So if you're wanting to max out your deadlifts or max out your squat and your program includes barbell bent over rows, you might want to consider changing that. Maybe to something like cable seated rows or chest supported rows, something that gives your lower back some kind of stabilization and support rather than making it exposed to that position, because it will negatively impact the lower back endurance and max load capacity during big events like squats and deadlifts. Now, I've actually used that to my advantage for some clients. If they do conventional deadlifts and their weak point of positioning control is around where the bar's at their knees. So as the bar passes their knees, they're at the most exposed position for like upper hamstring demand, glute demand, and lower back demand. So if they tend to start to tuck their hips and round their back to try to get out of that position, I'll make them do barbell bent over rows as one of our accessories, because it helps to build up their endurance capacity and stabilization capacity of that position. So it's super duper helpful when you want that stress. in order to improve that position. But if you don't care about that position, that's not an issue for you, but you're still doing barbell bent over rows, well, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're unnecessarily wearing out that position, the lower back bracing, which you're then going to try to use in squats and deadlifts. So that could be something that could be to your advantage, is to use barbell bent over rows if you want to work on your strength in that position, or it could be to your disadvantage if you don't actually aren't intending to work on that, but yet it's part of your program. So that's something we want to consider. I also said don't overextend yourself beyond normal training intensity in your other workouts. You can train to your normal intensity, have fun, but think of keeping an excited energy in reserve leading up to the birthday challenge. What's going to happen in his lower body workouts is I have the volume highest at the beginning of the program, and then I'm actually tapering down the volume but increasing his CNS, his nervous system response, as he gets closer to the event. What happens is when you increase nervous system responsiveness but you decrease volume, the person ends up feeling super freaking excited and ready to crush things. This is great when you're leading into a powerlifting event. You know, if I have a powerlifter and they're leading into a powerlifting meet, hell yeah, I want them to have volume tapered down, their intensity and their CNS ramped up, so that way they go into the meet and feel like freaking Superman and they want to crush everything under the sun. If you do that incorrectly, if somebody were not to bring down volume or they were accidentally to increase volume and they incorrectly manage their CNS, they can feel beat up, tired, they get to their meet and they're like, oh my God, I'm just tired, I just want this prep to be over. They're not even excited for the damn day. They're just wanting the day to be over with, and that's disappointing. So I wanted to warn him that in the process of the next couple of workouts, he is going to start to feel better, feel more energetic. He's going to feel like he has an increased capacity to do more work. That's exactly what we want. We want it on the birthday challenge. We don't want it a week or two ahead of time. So he's going to start to feel that. And since he loves to train, he might be eager to start to try to do more aggressive stuff on those workouts that I didn't write, like the upper body workouts. So I'm giving him a heads up that says, please don't do that. Keep your normal workout intensities. Let that excitement build and build and build. So by the time your birthday rolls around, you're freaking excited. You're jumping for joy. You're ready to crush this thing. The last thing I gave him as I kind of noticed was if there's a schedule conflict that would cause you to squeeze normal workouts in a shorter time frame, and reduce the intensity of the workouts. So that's what I wanted him to do. So if there's, I read that wrong. If there's a schedule conflict that would cause him to squeeze normal workouts into a shorter time frame. So maybe he normally does 4 workouts in 6 days. He got busy, did this thing, that thing. He has to do 4 workouts in 4 days. It's not going to be a good idea. Since we're trying to make sure his CNS isn't beat up by the time the birthday comes around, we don't want to increase our volume per capacity. So we talked about how we want volume to be decreasing within a singular workout. But we also have to have the volume considered in a broader scope of like volume per week. You can even monitor volume in like more extended periods like weeks and in time blocks and stuff as well. But if his volume is properly sequencing per workout, but he normally works out, say, 4 workouts per 7 days, all of a sudden, you know, in 2 weeks and 14 days, he would normally have done 8 workouts. But all of a sudden, due to schedule and craziness, he has to do 8 workouts in only 10 days. That's actually going to increase his volume, even though per workout volume didn't increase. So what I'm having him do is be aware of that as well. So I asked him to reduce the intensity of the workouts that he does his other ones, his upper body and cardio stuff, and don't dig into a recovery deficit that we can't dig our way back out. Now, I'm lucky with this is because since he is a trainer and he's been a trainer for a long, long, long time, very, very knowledgeable, he's going to understand exactly what I mean. He's going to know how to do this. I'm more so just kind of reminding him and giving him permission. So if, for example, in the last sentence I said, until the birthday challenge, it'd be better in these circumstances to take an extra day off leading into the challenge, rather than trying to cram workouts into a shorter rotation. So in a sense, I'm giving him permission that he would likely have not given himself to take a day off or to do a lighter workout if needed. It's helpful to hear that because we feel if we take a day off, we're a loser, we're weak. If I have to do less of a workout, I'm going to fall behind. I'm never going to reach my goals. That's all bullshit thinking, and it's not true in any way whatsoever. So sometimes the most hardcore thing you can do is to back off. when people go hashtag beast mode and they look amazing for a week or two and then they're destroyed for 2 or 3 months, that's stupid. Don't do that. Or they have an injury. Don't do that. It's okay to take a day off if that's what's best for your goal. Taking a day off doesn't mean you're weak. Taking a day off doesn't mean you're lazy. It means that you're intelligent and you are listening to your body, that you are actually intelligent enough to take that day off. That's an awesome sign. That's an awesome level of awareness. So those are the things I wrote for him to kind of keep in mind as he goes through his other workouts. Now, I wrote out the following 7 exact workouts that he should do for lower body leading into the 8th workout, which is the upper body challenge. The squat challenge. So what I want to do is I want to give a kind of a brief overview. I know we're already at 15 minutes in, so I can't talk through every single workout. That'll take forever. But I want to give a brief overview of what we're looking for. So in the workouts at the beginning of the week, he's going to have the shortest recovery time between the workout later in the week than he will from the second workout of the week going into the next week. Meaning, if he trains on Monday and Thursday for lower body, between Monday and Thursday, he only has Tuesday and Wednesday off. But between Thursday and the following Monday, he has 3 days off, not 2. So we're going to have him on the beginning of the week do kind of hinge and knee extension isolations to build endurance for the squat challenge. And then on the second workout of the week, we're actually going to have him do some of the squat prep work. So that way he has a whole extra day of recovery before he goes into the following week. This is going to allow us to better control our recovery. So that way we don't max out or peak out or come into that event too worn out. So sometimes, too often, what people do is they do their big-ass crazy workout at the beginning of the week, like say a Monday. And then they train on Tuesday. Let's say, for example, somebody squats on Monday. They bench on Tuesday. Wednesday, they do miscellaneous stuff where they take the day off. They deadlift on Thursday. And then they take Friday, do some upper body benching. And then they have Saturday and Sunday off. You could see that as like kind of a typical rotation. Well, the workout from squat to deadlift, I only have 2 days in between. But the workout from the deadlift on Thursday to the following squat workout on Monday, I have 3 days in between. Typically, deadlifts are more taxing on the lower back than squats are. So it's better to have that in that sequence, deadlifting on Thursday, so the lower back has an extra day of recovery leading into the following squat day. But if somebody were to go crazy and they beat the crap out of themselves on Monday, then expect to do super well on Thursday with lower back stuff, they're not going to because they only had 2 days of recovery. So we have to be aware of the recovery amount we're giving between workouts and how we can best sequence our week so that way, long term, week after week, we don't dig ourselves into a deficit. Just something to keep in mind. Okay, so he starts with like a glute stretch. So stretch for kind of the inner muscles of the glutes, the external rotators. When they're tight, they will limit our positioning when we're doing hinge style movements. So for example, in a squat, as you try to push your hips back and stretch into the musculature of your hip, they're going to be more resistant to the stretch. You'll tend to notice if you film yourself directly from the side, you'll see that your bar path drifts forward towards the bottom of the squat. That's not ideal at all. That means you're going to be quad dominant and low back dominant as you're trying to stand up rather than using your butt and your hamstrings. You want that bar path to be straight up, straight down. Now, everybody squats different, but for the most part, and I can't think of an exception at this moment, everybody's bar path should be straight up, straight down, straight down. Because that in the long run demonstrates a balance of musculature involved. It might not be your strongest squat now, but it will be your strongest squat ever as you continue to develop. So if you film yourself from the side of your squats and your bar path drifts forward as you go down, one of the reasons can be tight glute musculature. So you want to stretch your internal, external rotators of the glutes, like mostly the external rotators. So we do a cross-legged glute stretch. You can search for that on Instagram. On YouTube, search Brutal Iron Gym, cross-legged, L-E-G-G-E-D, cross-legged glute stretch. You'll see my beautiful self showing you how to do the stretch. There you go. Then we go into a circuit of bent over Cossack squats. Cossack squats typically have the normal angulature of the torso of a normal squat. However, that's not going to best stretch the adductors. So we do a bent over version of Cossack squats, which helps open up the adductors. If the adductors are tight, they will roll your hip posteriorly as you go down during the squat, and you'll notice that butt wink concept that people hear about, where as you go to the bottom of the squat, your hips almost like roll, they like tuck underneath you, and then they extend back out as you go to stand up. So if you notice a hip rotation in the bottom of your squat, that's not ideal. That can happen in some people and blah, 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 blah. But that's not ideal. One of the reasons why you might run into a posterior drop or posterior tilt of the hips is tight adductors. So doing a bent over Cossack squat is a great way to open that up. Then we do barbell rolling for the hamstrings, one of the most aggressive, just straight to the point ways to open up your hamstrings. And then we do a quad stretch with our foot on the roller pad. He has a roll pad. It's just on something elevated behind us. There's a bunch of different names for it. But what these movements do is they ensure that as we go through the rest of the workout, the ankles, knees, hips, our low back are all moving in the correct patterns with correct kind of musculature balance, pulling and tugging off of them. So if we think of like our knees, for example, all the muscles from our hip down to our knee, they're like strings of a puppet. If I shorten a couple strings or tie a couple strings in a knot, that puppet's not going to move correctly, right? Well, if I have really tight adductors and then I start to try to squat and do things, my knee's not going to move correctly. I'll feel a torque tension, a rotational tension within the knee, and that's going to hurt. Or it's going to lead to inefficient kind of adaptations or inefficient movement as your body tries to compensate for that. So if we do proper movement preparation, your movement quality in the bigger movements for the rest of the workout will all be more ideal, a lot less collateral damage annoyance to joints, a lot more efficient movement. We just feel better, we look better, we move better, we lift heavier, everything goes better. So that whole thing that I just talked through, it takes less than 10 minutes. You can zip through that pretty quick. So pretty awesome. Then what we're going to do is he's using a Mars bar. If you don't know what a Mars bar is, it's not the candy bar made by the company Mars. But that might be a reference only for myself to enjoy. But a Mars bar, if you go on YouTube, or you can probably Google it, just Mars bar, M-A-R-R-S. So there's two R's, Mars bar. And you could probably have to type like Mars bar barbell or Mars bar squat. He's actually doing Mars bar good mornings. What it is, it's the form of a safety squat bar. If you don't know what that is, you'll have to Google that too. A safety squat bar that has a low bar positioning rather than a high bar positioning. It's a pretty kick-ass bar. So typically, safety squat bars, what they do is they have handles to the front of the bar and they have padding on like kind of your neck and shoulders. They allow you to not have to externally rotate to put your hands on the barbell, so it saves a lot of shoulder strain. The downside to safety squat bars are, though, is they mimic a high bar positioning, not a low bar position. So it forces you to squat like a high bar squat. That might not be ideal for people who squat low bar. And it sure as shit is not ideal for somebody trying to do a good morning. You do not want to do a high bar position good morning. You'll hate yourself, and it defeats the whole point of it because you're more so stressing your neck and your thoracic spine than you're more than rather than stressing like your hips and lower spine. So he's doing Mars bar good mornings. We're doing sets of 7 to 8 with 1 or 2 reps in reserve. So reps in the tank means he's going to go to 7 or 8 and stop, where he probably could be able to get 1 or 2 more reps, but he's going to stop at good form at 7 or 8 reps. He's going to mix with that dumbbell step-ups. And we're doing quad variation of dumbbell step-ups, meaning his back leg, his resting leg or his down leg, is going to be very close to the box. So what this results in is a knees go forward over our toes position as we're lowering down. This is extremely stressful on the knee joint, but in a good way. This builds up the musculature of the quadriceps at the knee. So this is going to help improve knee stabilization and also leg extension endurance, which he's going to need for his squats. So we do Mars bar good mornings, because that's going to build up our low back endurance for stress and weight load and our hinge mechanic endurance. And then we do dumbbell step-ups to work on our knees. So what this is a deconstructed squat. We get the stresses of a squat, but we don't have to squat. Awesome. So this is going to help him work on those individual issues so no individual weakness can hide in the larger mechanics of the squat. So this is going to help him balance out his squat mechanics by doing these two separated movements. We're then going to go into a circuit of dumbbell hold, goblet hold, squats with heels elevated, and he's doing this for higher reps. This is just going to help kind of flush out those knees, burn the muscles a little bit more, but this is a lighter version. So we have a heavier version for step-ups. We have a lighter version in these heel elevated goblet squats, and that way, in the heavy version, we're working on strength of the musculature by the knee. The higher rep version, we're working on endurance and blood flow and kind of restoration of the knee. We're going to pair that with belt squats, stiff leg deadlifts, and again, these are kind of more higher reps compared to the good mornings. It just reinforces that same movement mechanics, but in a little bit of a different way. And again, the change of rep range allows us to kind of change the benefit to it. Then he's going to finish with some kind of cardio. He has a couple different pieces of cardio equipment in his home gym where he trains clients. I think he has like an elliptical, some kind of crazy-ass weird thing from the 80s that's freaking awesome. It's like a row machine. And then he has a rower. He has a ski erg. He has a sled. I forget the name of the sled, but it's like a weighted resistance, a magnetic resistance push sled. So it's pretty kick-ass. So you can pick any of those. And what I'm going to have him do is he's going to do a bout of effort for 30 seconds maximum intensity. He's going to take 90-second rest. Then he goes for a bout of effort of 40 seconds, 90-second rest, bout of effort for 50 seconds, 90-second rest, then a bout of effort for 60 seconds. The point of this is that as the time efforts increase, he doesn't get any extra rest. This is going to cause him to feel increasingly more fatigued on each bout, but it'll condition him to continue to push through increasing fatigue stress, just like he'll have to do for his birthday squat challenge. Meaning that he has to get used to stress increasing and increasing and increasing, but not freaking out and not quitting. So this is going to help him get used to that, but without the musculature load damage and stress of a squat. So this is just a cardiovascular stress. So he's going to get used to the cardiovascular increase of stress, but also just get him used to the pain sensations increasing. But yet he still has to hold true to his time, hold true to his standards, hold true to his technique. So there's a lot you can see built into exactly that workout. That's the first workout of the week. Now that's workout number one. We're using the same concept in workouts number three and five. But in number three, we change the repetitions of the good mornings and the squats to come lower, but with more weight. And then I change up the variations of what he's doing to help with knee rehab and lower back rehab. So this time in workouts three, he does like Bulgarian split squats and sumo stance, stiff leg deadlifts instead of the belt squat and the goblet squats. And then in workout five, we do the same concept, but we switch in different things. This one, he's doing a front foot elevated split squat for low quads, and then a dumbbell single leg stiff leg deadlift for the hip hinge. So that way it creates more variety, makes it more exciting. He's not doing the exact same thing every freaking week, but we're getting the concepts met, so that way we're getting the exact same benefits every single week. So that's pretty awesome. If you train based on concepts rather than on specific movements, you can have a lot more fun, but not miss anything in your results. And then also in workouts number three and five, the rest time of that increasing sprint efforts in his cardio is decreasing. So in week one, he has to do bouts of 30, 40, 50, 60 seconds with 90 seconds rest. In workout number three, he's doing it with 75-second rest. In workout number five, he's doing it with 60-second rest. So again, he's having to get used to getting his ass kicked and getting crazy out of breath, but staying true to the quality of effort. This is exactly what he's going to face when he does that squat. So it's awesome to already have him be familiar with the mental and emotional stress that'll feel. He'll know that he physically won't die. So he can push through that whenever the time comes for that challenge. Now, the second workout of the week, he's actually practicing the squats. He actually is doing the squats. I have him work up to doing a single at 275, and then we come back down to the 225 that we're going to be working with. The point of that is that if you work up to a single heavier, then when he drops back down in weight, his CNS is going to register that as light. So rather than it being the heaviest thing he's done that day, it'll be lighter, and his body won't like ignite these subconscious protective mechanisms as early within the set or even at all. So our body tends to protect us, and it tends to be sensitive to what's the most intense thing we've done that day. Well, if he works up to a heavy single, he ignites that fight or flight system of our body. He gets adrenaline going, and then he drops down in weight. He's going to feel like a piece of cake. He's going to go into the 225 feeling like freaking Superman because he just squatted 275. Now, he can squat a lot more, but having his nervous system feel the 275 ignites that fight or flight system, brings up adrenaline, brings up endorphins. Adrenaline is your aggressiveness. Endorphins is your natural painkillers. So he's going to have all that spike for him right before we go to the 225. So he's going to go down to 225, have that feel easy, and in workout number two, he's doing three sets of 20 reps. Now our goal, our target goal is 47 reps. But the volume of this day is going to be 60 reps. So I want him to get used to 60 reps, but he's going to do it in three bouts. This way he kind of gets that volume of what he's going to need, but the intensity isn't quite as high. Because we're still doing other things in the workouts. Like earlier in the week, he did the good mornings, he did the step-ups. He still has to do stuff after this exercise. So he's not going to be doing just the squat, therefore we don't want to max out just the squat, because we're going to have other things picking away at his recovery. Now as we get closer to his birthday one, we're going to pull out those things that are picking away at his recovery, increase the repetition per set of the squat to get him better used to the squat. So in workout number four, the squat bumps up to two sets of 30 reps. It's still 60 reps in volume, but the intensity is higher because he had to do it in two bouts, not three bouts. So that gets him, again, increased intensity, but we're starting to bring down the volume by bringing down the volume of the other movements. So, for example, the movements he has to do after his week, his workout number two, squats, he does a dumbbell RDL, machine leg extensions, and then a bodyweight glute bridge and a bodyweight side plank. Well, in workout number four, he does seated hamstring curls, and then it's only bodyweight stuff from there. So instead of two externally weighted movements, he only has one. That's going to bring down his overall volume. That's going to bring the intensity down to counter the increase of intensity that we wanted in the squat. And then in workout number six, he's going to test the 225 squat for one set of 40. And this is going to be a great test for us to see how he does. He's still going to be more fatigued on this day than he will be on his birthday, because he still has the other workouts kind of competing. However, after the set of 40, he only has bodyweight movements. So in the first workout of these three sequences, he had two externally weighted movements. In the second workout, he only has one externally weighted movement. In the final workout of the sequence, he has no externally weighted movements. This is going to allow his recovery to start to peak up even more, even though the intensity of his squat is increasing. So again, this is preparing him to freaking crush this birthday workout. So it's exciting to see what you can do sequentially over these workouts to prep his body, prep his nervous system, prep his recovery system. Make sure he's fired up, he's ready to go, he's moving well. He has the joints ready and prepared. He has the individual musculature ready and prepared. He has his nervous system ready and prepared. He has the recovery ready and prepared. So it's amazing and super fun when you can see how much of this you can actually kind of intertwine and mingle and mix, and it's just awesome what you can accomplish. So the workout before his birthday challenge, we have just bodyweight stuff. So he's going to do his normal preparation work. We stretches the glutes, does the Cossack squats, barbell rolling, and quad stretch. And then we just have a sequence of bodyweight lunges. He has to do a sequence of alternating reverse lunges, alternating side lunges, alternating forward lunges, go three rounds of that, 10 per leg. The intent of that circuit is to open up any tight musculature from the previous workouts, get blood flow into the joints to bring in new protein, bring in healthy healing things, increase his heart rate, make sure his condition stays up. It's basically lightweight movement therapy to help kind of prep the body for the birthday challenge. We want him to be active and moving, feel like he's ready for the challenge, but this is not going to wear him out or kind of overextend him in any way. He then has to finish the last bout of that time-increasing sprint cardio. So he still has to do that 30, 40, 50, 60-second bouts, but only 45 seconds of rest this time. He's going to hate me, but it's going to be amazing. So then he goes into his birthday challenge. I told him to use whatever movement preparation, whatever warm-ups he feels works best for him. He's very knowledgeable. He's going to know what works best for him. I told him, you put in the work. You've gotten stronger every day leading into today. You are ready for this challenge. Happy birthday. Record the challenge set and let me know how it goes. So I have a reminder and make sure I text him on his birthday and check in and see how this goes. But I thought it would be cool to see just all the complexity that can go into writing programs for something as fun or weird or as exciting as like a birthday squat challenge. So it was awesome. I got to write it specifically for his abilities, specifically for the equipment that he has available, specific to his time frame, specific to his age, his recovery rate. It's just freaking awesome. I love doing this stuff, because I know that if he does it this way, he's going to kick ass. He's going to feel great. He's going to bring in his birthday just on such a high. I'm so, so, so happy for him. So I'm super excited. Cool. Well, I thought that would be helpful for everybody to kind of hear just all the different concepts that can go into programming. Now, if you want any programming help, of course, I'm happy to help you. This is what I do for a living. I love it. You can tell because I'm freaking excited. So if you need anything at all, reach out to us. I can help you write a program for anything, literally anything. This is what I do. Let me help you. Cool. Well, if you need anything, shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I want to prompt you as well to check out our Instagram channel. Go to Instagram, search Brutal Iron Gym. We post something on there every single day, and we've been posting some pretty good stuff lately. And if you're not on there, please follow us, and please check that out. If you find any benefit from these podcasts, you're going to find benefit from the information we also post on our social media on Instagram. So please, please, please check that out. Okay. Well, if you like today's podcast, if you think it was helpful, if you think the podcast in general is helpful, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. So I sincerely appreciate those who do share the podcast. It has been very meaningful. The podcast has been growing this year. This is our best year so far, easily. So thank you so, so much to everybody. I truly appreciate your investment into us. Also, thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so thank you very much for helping with that. I appreciate you very much. It's the only thanks to you that we can actually do this. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.